Welcome, everyone. I'm Sue Barber, author, former IT director for a Fortune 500 company, turned executive coach, and this is the Visibility Factor podcast, where we explore how to raise your visibility and play bigger at work and in life. We'll explore key topics and welcome guests that help you shift your thinking about yourself so you can see new possibilities for your leadership. I'm on a mission to create a visibility movement for leaders to show their value and be seen for their true talent. Are you ready to take the next step towards a higher level of visibility for yourself? Let's go. Today's episode of the Visibility Factor podcast is brought to you by Amplify You, the ultimate program designed to unleash your full potential and amplify your success. Imagine having a personal coach cheering you on, guiding you through a journey of self-discovery, and helping you break free from those limiting beliefs that have been holding you back. That's exactly what Amplify You is all about. Whether you're a leader now or aspiring to be one, this program is your ticket to a more confident, empowered you. It's like having a supportive friend in your corner encouraging you to dream big. It's about having the career success that you want and creating a life you truly deserve. Amplify You offers a unique experience to help you build the confidence to tackle any challenge life throws your way. If you're interested in learning more about the program, please visit susanmbarber.com and click on the menu item Programs. Are you ready to transform your life and your career? Let's make it happen. Welcome back to the Visibility Factor podcast. This is Sue Barber, your host. On this episode, we are going to talk about the things in your life that you are tolerating, how it impacts your energy, and it also impacts the opportunities for you to do more in your career and your life. So you might say, what's a toleration? These are the things that stress you out every day, but they haven't caused you enough pain to make a change to them yet. Why is this important? Because they take your energy away, which makes you feel negative, irritated, skeptical, or even angry. It prevents you from being your best self for you, your family, friends, and coworkers. People can feel those negative emotions from you. It can impact how others perceive you and impact opportunities for success. I first learned about tolerations when I started coaching school. It was one of the first classes that I took in the program. I had never really thought about tolerations at all before that class. And once I learned about them, I could see them everywhere. Now, for a coach, it is meant to help clear out things that drain our energy. The saying goes, you can't take a client deeper than you are willing to go. I had no idea how many things I was tolerating and that I needed to work on addressing. So I'm going to share a few of my own tolerations as we go through this. But I wanted to give you some context and some examples of where tolerations can show up for you. So these might be things in your life or work environment that are irritating, people who don't treat you right, situations that frustrate you, for example. I'm going to start with some easy ones and then move into the harder ones. So sometimes it's our physical space that can drain our energy. So I'll give you an easy example that I use myself. You have a messy closet that you need to clean out. I definitely have had that. You know, you are looking for that one black sweater that you want to wear today, but you can't find it. Now you're spending 20 minutes looking for it, and you realize that you put it on your shelf instead of hanging it up like you normally do because you were in a hurry. You look around and see how many things are in there that you don't even wear anymore, that you should donate or throw out. However, you have other priorities, so cleaning out your closet falls to the bottom of the to-do list. A few months go by and your closet is getting worse. You hate to even look at it, but still you don't do anything to address it. How many of you can relate to that example? Now, tolerations are going to drain you after a while. So let's think about that example again. Think about how you feel when you go into a messy closet. It takes away your energy and you get mad at yourself because you haven't already done something about it. Imagine how you would feel after you've cleaned it out and it looks really nice and organized. Wouldn't you feel happier and have more energy when you go into your closet now? So this is just one example, a simple example of a toleration. But think about how many of you may be dealing with other tolerations in your life, other things that are affecting your mood, energy, creativity, and happiness. Now, I always feel a lot better after I clean my closet. It's nice and organized, and it just doesn't weigh me down anymore when I walk in there. So learning about tolerations was a big lesson for me. I really had no idea how much I was tolerating and needed to change. Now, these aren't just things about the physical space around you. Tolerations can impact you in all areas of your life. A few of the categories that I learned about in the class were they show up in your relationships, in your finances, in your health, Even making a few changes to eliminate them will make you feel like you have more energy. It will also motivate you to clear out even more of the tolerations that are wearing you down. So I'm going to focus on a few of the different kinds of tolerations that you might be experiencing. I will share some of my own examples to help you think about how to eliminate them from your life too. So the first one, I went through the closet example, but I'll share a few others with you that you might have. So a physical environment. So these are set in what you really want, right? Your end result. So I am not tolerating anything about my home or work environment. So my example for that was we had a leak in our living room in the ceiling, and I looked at it every day, and I started to realize that's actually annoying now that I know about this. Why haven't we fixed that yet? What are we waiting for? So I talked to my husband and he fixed it. And I don't know, like it was just not a priority. And so sometimes when you go into a room and you see that, it just doesn't give you good energy, right? I have nothing around the house or in storage that I do not need. So are you getting rid of clutter, things that you don't need around? My home is clean and comfortable, uncluttered, organized, maintained. My appliances work well. At the time I went through this, we have a stove that was here at our house. And two, it has like an electronic igniter. And so it broke. So I only had two actual places to cook on the stove. And I just lived with that for a really long time because I had someone come out and it was really expensive to change it. And I thought, you know, it's fine. I don't need to do that right now. I had kids in daycare. I had other things to pay for right that moment. And so I just didn't. And my brother-in-law came to cook Thanksgiving dinner. He's like, Sue, you only have two burners. I know, I need to get it fixed. But it's kind of interesting, right? That you can put up with stuff like that when I could have, you know, really probably found the money and just paid for it. But I just thought, you know what? I need the money for something else right now. So don't put up with tolerations, things that annoy you when you have to use them and you can't. Personal files, papers, receipts are all scanned and neatly filed away. My office is clean and organized. Now, I just went through and cleaned out my office and cleaned off my desk, and it does make you feel better. So if that's something you have, think about doing that. It doesn't take that long, and it might just free you up with more energy. The next category is well-being. So I take care of me every day. I walk or exercise at least 3 times per week. I consistently take evenings, weekends, and holidays off, and I take at least 2 weeks vacation each year. So some of this can be like goals that you set for yourself. My life and work are in balance. I celebrate when good things happen in my life or work. I didn't used to do that. I used to just go to the next thing, and it's so important to slow down and celebrate things that are going well. Money. I'm on a planned career path. I'm satisfied with my progress, and I'm taking steps to stay on my plan. I know how much I must have to be financially independent, and I have a plan to get there. I have 6 months living expenses in an interest-bearing savings account. I know my net worth. I have a budget that allows me to save money for my future. My will is up to date and accurate. The last category is relationships. I intentionally maintain a personal and professional network to move my life and business forward. I have let go of the relationships which drag me down or damage me. I've communicated or attempted to communicate with everyone who I upset, even if it wasn't fully my fault. I have fully come to terms with those people who have hurt, damaged me intentionally or not. I quickly correct miscommunications and misunderstandings when they do occur. Now, my coach used to call this cleaning up your messes. So if you have a situation with somebody, could you go address it and really clean it up now versus waiting and waiting and waiting, and then it just gets worse, or there's resentment or frustration by both sides? Try to find a way to clean it up. I'm in tune with my wants and needs and get them taken care of. I do not take personally the things that people say to me. So I'm going to share a story with you in a few minutes about someone who took something personally and how it can impact you. So let's look at some of these harder areas, and this is around people. Has someone made you mad at work? Has someone told you they would do something, but then they didn't do it? Has someone taken credit for your work? Has someone borrowed money from you and avoids the subject whenever you are in the same room? Has someone treated you poorly either at work or at home? Has someone let you down and disappointed you? Now, there's many, many more. I just wanted to give you some examples to think about because I think we all have at least one of those that we can relate to in a situation where someone made us feel bad. And in the moment, you get to feel how you feel. So if you're angry, you get to be angry in that moment for sure. You get to be angry for as long as you need to feel like you're starting to get past it. But some people hold on to that anger for months and even years, and that's not good for you. So if, for example, you are angry at your boss and you don't say anything, who is that hurting? You or your boss, who doesn't even know you're angry? The answer is you. When I see clients holding on to something from years ago, I'll ask them that same question. Who is it hurting, you or your boss? They never even thought about it, that it could be hurting them. They just hold on to that anger instead of processing it and letting it go. So this week alone, I have had 3 different conversations with employees who are being mistreated. In all of the situations, they were absolutely treated poorly. They felt used, devalued, undermined, embarrassed, angry, and frustrated. They had a right to feel all of that in the moment. This type of situation impacts you in so many ways when that happens. Your confidence is shaken. You wonder if you need to leave your company, or do you stay and try to turn it around? Do you even want to? Now, these employees were hurt and then became angry. They trusted the people that they worked with and they were blindsided. They thought that they were in a good place and had the approval of their management and the people that they worked with. Now they're mad at this person or situation and themselves. They don't know what to do, but they also are feeling a bit of grief, right? Things have changed and they wish it could be the way it was. And so they need a little time to get some perspective. I talked to them and coached on probably 3 options that they have in front of them. And so we talked through what those might be for each of them. But I'll just generalize this a little bit for you. They could make what happened personal and hold on to the anger as long as they want to and let it continue to hurt them. That's an option that they could choose. They could have a conversation to address what they felt with the person who made them upset and let them know what was upsetting them. Or the third one, which a lot of people don't consider, is they could forgive the person and themselves and let it go. There's a quote by Lao Tzu that says, care about people's approval and you will be their prisoner. So if they are holding on to someone else's opinion of them or someone else's feedback or criticism, they've now become a prisoner to that person. They've given their power to that person instead of standing up for themselves and doing something different or helping themselves out of it. So do you want to give other people the power over you? Just think about that for a minute. How many things are you mad at, angry at, frustrated, and you're holding on to that, which is only impacting you? Holding on to anger is a negative energy that will impact you in your stress level, brings up your anxiety to a higher level, and worse yet, it can make you ill, physically ill. So using your voice to share how you're feeling with the person allows you to get it off your chest, but you need to be ready for the fact that they may not care or want to discuss it. So usually somebody who's closed off like that, maybe insecure about their own leadership, they can't see that they did anything wrong, and they take an offensive position to put others around them down so they feel better about themselves. So you need to know who you're talking to and approach the situation in a way that hopefully they can hear you, but be prepared that they may not. And that isn't on you, right? That's on them. But I don't want you to go into it and be surprised again that they are not willing to listen to what you have to say. The last option, forgiveness, is usually the option most people don't consider. And I definitely had never considered before I worked with my coach on this on some things. And it's the one thing you can do to process the negative feelings and get them out of you. And if you don't even want to have the conversation with the other person or you can't, it's an option, right? Because what we're trying to do is get the negative feelings out of you. So I mentioned an example about taking things personal earlier. This comes from an article called Leaders Learn, Forgive, and Move On. And so I wanted to share it with you because it's a pretty common thing that I think we can all relate to. A woman was waiting to meet a friend for coffee. 10 minutes after the meetup time was supposed to start, the other person wasn't there yet. Immediately, she thought she must have gotten the date or time or place wrong. She checked, she was in the right place, the right day, and the right time. She called her friend, and her friend said, "Oh, I forgot all about it." So even though it had been her friend's idea to meet, her friend had forgotten. So the next morning, she realized, you know, I'm not mad at my friend anymore. I'm not mad about it. She started to focus on what her friend's forgetting said about her. She took it personally. Maybe she didn't mention rescheduling because she decided I wasn't important or interesting enough to meet with. She was making something personal that wasn't. She recognized that by asking that question. She gave the power to her friend when she didn't really need to, right? It wasn't about her. She realized that she had no control over her friend forgetting, but she could control how she responded. And I think that's an important piece to just call out here for a second. We all have choices. We can make our own choices regardless of what someone else does. We can't control them, but we can control our response to situations. So she called her friend up and set up a time to reschedule. Her friend had said that she was too embarrassed to call because she was so ashamed that she had forgotten. So interesting, right? They both went inside and either hid or shamed themselves or blamed themselves for the situation instead of recognizing that it wasn't about them, right? Each of them had their own situation. It's okay to forget something, right? And I'm sure her friend would have given her some grace if she said, you know what, I had so many other things going on and I totally forgot. It's not, you know, I so apologize. I never meant for that to happen. It's not about you. I'm so excited to see you. She could have said something like that, right? But she probably went into shame immediately and couldn't even get those words out. So this is just a simple example, but it happens all the time, right? Things like this happen and we create judgments about the other person instead of having compassion for what they may be going through, right? They may have had something else happen in their family or something else happened to them. Maybe they got sick. It's up to them whether they want to share that or not. But in my world, I try to assume the best, right? I try to assume that that person did not mean that. And it, even if, you know, they forgot, has nothing to do with me, right? And you have to start to do that for yourself to recognize that you cannot control what someone else does. You can only control you and what your response is. So I think a lot of people assume it's their own fault and they go inside and blame themselves just like these two women did. But we also do it at work. So if we don't get the job, if we're not considered for an opportunity, we immediately go inside and say, we must not be good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the right capabilities to do what's needed for this role. So we go in and blame ourselves. And sometimes there are other situations happening that we don't even know about. Maybe someone else somewhere along the way promised this other person this role and you didn't know that. Or maybe they have a better role for you coming and they just don't feel like this one's the right one. There's a number of things that can happen. So having a conversation about what's really going on and asking for feedback, and hopefully they tell you, is important. But you can't control everything else. All you can control is your response and how you show up and how you respond to that situation. And that means it may be challenging, but you have to go in with confidence repeatedly after that. Because what if that situation had nothing to do with you, but you suddenly blame yourself and start acting like you don't know enough, you're not smart enough? It changes the way they see you then. We want to have them see you in the best way always, as much as we can. And I'm not saying you can't react and can't be disappointed and all of that. You can. And it's okay to say, I'm disappointed. I thought I was going to get that role and now I didn't. But I'm going to come back stronger, right? I'm going to do more things to help show you I'm ready for this role. Or I'm going to be having conversations in another area to see if those are roles that are maybe a better fit for me. It's all about how you respond. So we're all human. We see the world through our own lens. Our experiences, values, and beliefs affect how we see ourselves and how we see others. So I just want to give you a few things to think about here. Check your assumptions in these situations and consider that the other person may be going through things that have nothing to do with you. Don't give your power away to someone else ever. All good people behave badly at times, right? We all make mistakes and it doesn't define who they are or who you are. Self-worth comes from the inside out, not the outside in. So someone else cannot determine your worth. Just because they say you're good or not good, that doesn't change that you have worth. You're born with it. You don't have to do anything to have it. So don't be quick to sell yourself short. Talk it out with someone if you can, right? The person that upset you or the situation that upset you, try to have a conversation about it. And if you can't, forgive, let go, and move on. Try to do something else that's going to bring you joy, that's going to make you happy, and that might be a better thing in the long run anyway. So let's make sure we don't make everything about us, because being an effective leader requires that we get out of our own perspective at times so we can connect with other people and see their perspective, see what they're thinking about, where they're coming from. Being open for those conversations makes a much better collaboration. And that's when success happens. So I want to share a few quotes for you to think about around forgiveness. I thought this one was so interesting. Hurt people hurt people. So if someone's hurting, they may lash out. They may criticize because they're feeling hurt themselves. So the more you can clean out that hurt outside of you and not hold on to that, the better off you're going to show up. We are all responsible for actions and inactions. Whether we do something or we don't do something, we're still responsible for that. Forgiveness does not mean that you condone what that person did. So if they wronged you, they hurt you, they upset you, it doesn't condone the behavior, but you can still forgive them. Forgiveness is allowing you to take your personal power back. Resentment is a form of blame. Blaming others keeps us from taking responsibility for where we are now and where we are going. So if you stay in this victim place of, I'm blaming someone else for what happened to me, it's their fault, it's their fault. I think you always have to at least question, is there any responsibility that I have in this situation? It's very easy to blame. It's the easy way out for sure. But at least ask yourself the question, do you have any responsibility? I love this one. Brains create a good guy and a bad guy. We are usually the good guy, but that creates judgment and resentment of the other person who is the bad guy. So we are constantly in that mode of, it's not my fault, it's their fault, it's someone else's fault, it's not my fault. And think about that for yourself. Are you doing that to yourself and to other people? I love this analogy from an article that Gabby James wrote. You carry around this backpack, and every time you choose to hold on to something rather than forgive, it becomes a rock that you have to carry in your backpack. You might get used to the weight of the rock after a while. You might even forget it's in your backpack after other things start piling on top. But that weight is still there. And as more things you choose not to forgive pile up, things start to feel really heavy. So how heavy is your backpack? How much are you holding on to that you could let go of? Something that maybe happened years ago to a friend or a family member or a coworker? Is it really serving you to hold on to it? Is it helping you? And what could be different if you emptied all of that out of you? Would it give you more energy? Would it allow you to show up differently? Would people see you differently and perceive you differently? Possibly, right? Is it worth trying and forgive other people or go through some of these other things that we talked about today? Just try to look at yourself and do some reflection. And maybe there's an opportunity to do some forgiveness for yourself and for others. I'm going to go into today's visibility action now. So I mentioned forgiveness as an option to help you move forward and process your emotions about the person and situation. There are two pieces, right? You have to forgive them and forgive yourself. Forgiveness is about choosing to not feel anger towards them anymore for what they did. Self-forgiveness is about learning from your mistakes and giving yourself grace, even though you make mistakes. Mistakes are how we learn. So it's something that we almost have to do, right? In order for us to learn how to do something, we have to maybe make a mistake to make that happen. So what I encourage clients to do is to actually write a letter to whoever you are angry with. Say all the things you want to say, get them out there, be as angry as you want, get all the things on paper. You can write 7 letters if you want, or you can write pages and pages. The goal is to get it out of you. And sometimes when you get to say it, it feels better. It's like a weight lifted off your chest. You can throw them away. I'm not asking you to send them. Please don't send them. I think it's better if you don't. Throw them out, burn them, do whatever you need to. But the goal is to get it out of you. And that way you feel a little bit lighter, right? It brings back some energy to you. You didn't get to tell them face to face for whatever reason, right? Or maybe it wasn't possible to do that, but you held on to it and that's not helping you. We need to let go of our past mistakes and other people's mistakes in order to move forward with our lives and grow. That's why a letter of forgiveness to yourself is important. So trying to highlight for yourself that you're not perfect. You make mistakes. We don't always all have the answers when we need them. And sometimes we mess up. And that's okay. So you get to have grace for yourself too. And so even if you're not always thinking about the mistakes or others' wrongdoings towards you, holding on to those things are mentally wearing you down. They're holding on to you and taking your energy that you could be doing something super positive with, right? You could be doing something that you love and brings you joy. But if you sit in that place of, I need to hold on to this because I'm still angry, is it helping you or not? You can't be the best leader when you're holding on to all of that. You need your energy to show up how you want to be, and forgiveness is the key to doing that. So just like I talked about as a coach, I can't hold on to all of that stuff because I won't be the best coach for my clients. Same thing goes true for you. You can't be the best leader for your team or for your organization. You can't be the best parent or family member for your family if you're holding on to these things, because remember, your team members are watching you. Your children might be watching you. People are watching to see how you handle these things. So try to make the best choice for you that helps you be healthy and happy and get the things out of life that you want for yourself and for your career. Thanks so much for joining today on the Visibility Factor Podcast, and we'll catch you on the next one. Thanks so much for listening to the Visibility Factor Podcast. Remember that visibility starts with small steps that are intentional and consistent each day. Be bold, be visible, be the leader you were meant to be. Find us and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. Follow us on all of our social media platforms, which are highlighted in the show notes. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time on the Visibility Factor Podcast.